This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته جزاكم خير Thank you for joining us night number 13 of this Ramadan May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in it Alhamdulillah this evening we will conclude with section 3 of our tafsir of Surah Yasin And this section was the signs that are all around us Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use observable signs that are just in front of us we take for granted every day to inform the concepts which were introduced in section 1 and 2. And so the first sign was that of the dead earth and how Allah brings it back to life. That seed that looks like it has no life in it, that Allah brings out of it a tree, that tree brings fruit, people eat from it, animals eat from it, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to revive a land which is completely barren and dead. And so too, we should not have any doubt that when we die and we are in the earth, Allah is going to resurrect us and from the dead bring us back to life. The second ayah was that of the night, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the motions of the sun and the moon and how everything is in a perfect orbit. Everything is in a measured course that it follows. So perfect that our calendars are based on it. We measure time by this. And so Allah wants us to know that as we see the sun and the moon go through its motions, we see the stages of the moon, so too our life is following a course. And ultimately our mustaqar, our end is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see that how everything Allah has decreed for it, for us as well, we are on a predetermined course. And if the sun and the moon, Allah says they cannot outstrip one another. The day cannot outstrip the night. Everything must obey the command of Allah. Do we really think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow us to transgress and we are not out of His reach? The next ayah, the next sign is going to be that of a boat or a ship. And that is an amazing transition because the last verse, verse number 40 was, وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَقِ يَسْبَحُونَ that in all these planets, the sun, the moon, the earth, all of the heavenly bodies are in an orbit, a falak, yasbahun, they are swimming or floating in an orbit. And now Allah will speak about a fulk. Falak and fulk, you can see, is the same word, and comes from the same meaning. And the fulk will be also swimming or floating in the ocean. So Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, ayah number 41, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ and another sign for them, أَنَّا that we حَمَلْنَا, we carried ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, the offspring, فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ, in the heavily laden ship. The ship that was heavily laden. Now, there's some discussion amongst the Mufassirin. What ship is Allah talking about here? Because the word dhurriya was what caused them a bit of a confusion. Their offspring. In fact, even if you look at some translations, Quran.com I'm reading right now, it said it carried their forefathers. And that's not correct because dhurriya is your progeny or your offspring. So the first tafsir, and this is perhaps the strongest one, it refers to the ship of Nabi Nuh, the ark. And Allah calls it the fulk al-mashhoon throughout the Quran. You'll find this is the term Allah used for the ark. Why is it laden? Because there were a lot of people on it. And of course there were a lot of animals on it. And all of humanity at that time when that location was upon that ship. And so Allah says, we carried you, meaning all of humanity, on that boat. And how easily it is that we could have caused that boat to sink. The other tafsir, which is also applicable, it says, no, it refers to any boat. Allah is giving an analogy of a boat where your offspring, literally they are parents, they are in one place and their sons, their daughters, they have grown up, they got married and now they're on a boat and they are off, in the middle of the ocean. So Allah is giving an example like this. And then the next ayah Allah says, وَخَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ and we created for them, مِن مِثْلِهِ similar to the boat, مَا يَرْكَبُونَ that which they ride upon. Now of course the old Mufassirin, all they knew about were boats in the ocean and they had camels and donkeys and similar things on the land. And so they said this ayah refers to the land-based animals we ride. This ayah actually is, if you look at the precision of it, Allah says, we have created for you things similar to boats which you ride. For our time, it of course includes cars, planes, trains, even spaceships. In fact, these things, these automobiles or these vehicles that we ride are more similar to ships than camels and donkeys are. And so this ayah is actually very precise if you look at it. So Allah says, and we created for you, we brought things that you did not know, gave you these things which you ride about and you travel through the land and the sea. Now it's beautiful if you look at the three ayat, Allah spoke about the land first, then He spoke about the skies, the sun and the moon, and now He's speaking about the sea. These are all mediums in which we travel and places which Allah has allowed us to move freely through. Now Allah gives an example. وَإِن نَشَأْ And if we should so well, نُغْرِقَهُمْ فَلَا صَرِيخَ لَهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْقَذُونَ So Allah gives you an example. Imagine you are on this boat, or your offspring, your kids, your parents were on this boat. In نُغْرِقَهُمْ It is, we caused this boat to sink, and we basically caused them to drown. فَلَا صَرِيخَ لَهُمْ There will be no one to respond to their cry, their scream, their SOS, their call for help. No one would help them. وَلَا هُمْ يُنْقَذُونَ And there will be none that would be able to save them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that in those moments of vulnerability, who would you turn to if your plane was about to crash or your boat was about to sink? You know, Allah uses the analogy of a sinking ship in many, many times in the Quran. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the disbelievers. Really, when the boat is about to sink, that is when they become sincere. They forget about the idols. Of course, the idols aren't with them on the boat. And they turn to the Creator, the one and the only that can save them. There's none that can save them from this. And so Allah wants us to remember that we might feel that we are in this, you know, very secure bubble. And it is, you know, we go from our house and we go to the shop and our salary comes in. Everything feels nice and secure and we're not vulnerable at all. Usually it is when we travel that we feel a little bit of insecurity or when we feel a bit of vulnerability. How many of us, you know, no matter how many times you've flown, when the plane is about to take off, you feel like, ya Allah, anything can happen. Even getting into the car, subhanAllah, we know how dangerous it is just to drive from your house. Down the road, anything can happen to you on the road. When we go on a journey, maybe on a holiday, we go on the long route, you know, we always say, phone me when you get there, phone me along the way, because that is when you feel vulnerable. And so Allah is using this example, that when you travel, how vulnerable you are. And He wants us to remember that we are all on a journey, that we are always traveling. This vulnerability is always there. We are just in a false sense of security when we're comfortable in our homes, that so easily Allah can cause, you know, our boats to sink, our planes to crash. So easily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take away these blessings. And therefore in the next ayah Allah says, إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِنَّا وَمَتَاعًا إِلَىٰ حِينَ These things we give to you only as a blessing and as a mercy that you can enjoy for a predetermined, for a very short, limited amount of time. So easily Allah can take it away. And subhanAllah, we're living in a time like that. How quickly Allah can take away this blessing. We could not have imagined that the planes would be grounded, the ships would be stuck in the ocean, you know, cars won't even be on the road anymore. Allah says, I can take this away from you anytime. And we see it right now, this happening before our very eyes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, when we talk about traveling, this is when we feel vulnerable. And that is why there's a beautiful dua that we recite when on a journey. And in that dua, which is taken from another ayah in the Quran, we realize this is a very powerful gift Allah has given us. Allah says, subhanallah, all praise be unto Allah, perfection is to Allah, الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا The one who has subdued this for us. This could mean the car that you drive, the boat that you're on, the plane, the animal. It also could mean the land. He has made the land safe for us to travel. The oceans, Allah has subdued the oceans. The skies are gentle for us to fly through. If the oceans become too rough, or the skies become too windy, we can't fly in them, we can't move in them. So Allah says, I have made this subdued for you. وَمَا كُنَّ لَهُ مُكْرِمِينَ Had it not been for Him making it subservient to us, we would not be able to overpower it. وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ So beautifully Allah says, and ultimately to Allah is our final destination. Whatever flight you're on, whatever journey you're on, whatever place you're living, every single human being on earth, we are on a journey, and our ultimate end, our final end, our final destination is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants us to remember that, subhanallah. So all of these things, the ayah of the sun, the moon, the land, the fruits, the ships, all of this, Allah says, it is a mata'an ila a rahmatan minna, a mercy I have given you, O insan, wa mata'an ila heen, and a thing that you will enjoy, but only for a limited amount of time. These things can be taken away anytime. And it can also, ultimately it means that we are temporary and this world itself is temporary. So Allah then moves on to the next ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ When it is said to them, the passive voice is used. We don't know who is the one saying this, but it could mean when it is said to them from multiple angles, Allah is saying this to them, the Quran is saying this to them, the angels are saying this to them, the anbiya are calling them, even the pious people, the imams, the teachers, your parents. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ When it's said to them, اتَّقُوا You know, be conscious, be fearful, be mindful. Ma bayna aydikum, that which is between your hands, meaning what is in front of you. Wa ma khalfakum, and that is what is behind you. La'allakum turhamun, that you may receive mercy. Allah is saying, when you are called, take note of these signs. Take note of how easily life can change. Take note how Allah has blessed you, how things have been made easy for you. Take note of it so that you can be aware of it, and take note of the past, meaning the things behind you could mean your previous lives or the things that you've done in the past or that of history. Take note of history so that you will, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, that you might receive mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa. And really, it's important we understand this meaning, because Ramadan, the purpose of it is to attain taqwa. Taqwa is, of course, a consciousness, an awareness, a relationship with Allah. So Allah says, be conscious of the things that you are doing, the signs He sends you, be conscious of your actions, be conscious of of qiyamah, be conscious of the past, your sins, be conscious of the previous nations, look at history, so that you may receive mercy. Taqwa will lead to mercy. And that is why in this month of Ramadan, the objective is to attain taqwa, to attain consciousness of Allah, of His laws, of our actions, so at the end of the month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us of His mercy. In the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا أَنْهَا مُعْرِدِينَ. Allah says, and they are now, you know, Allah is using to say how often this is the case for all of us, every single human being. Allah says, no sign comes to them. There are so many signs that come to them from the signs of Allah, from all these signs Allah sends to them, except that they are from it mu'ridin. They turn away, they reject it, they deny it, they are not conscious of it. Allah says, how many signs do we send you? Each and every day we send you signs, big signs, major signs, and people, they are not conscious of it, they are not aware of it, they turn away, they are either oblivious to it or they are arrogantly denying of it. And again, it gives us an example. Remember in section 1, Allah spoke about the guy who's in the box, that in front of him and behind him there's a sad. So he cannot look at the signs in the front, signs from behind him, and of course there's a ceiling, a roof on top of him, so he is completely oblivious to the signs. He has become closed off. May Allah protect us. Allah says, insan, you are like this. You have so many signs in front of you, and you are oblivious to them. On this juncture, we need to mention, we just take a side note here. In the past, people looked at the natural surroundings and they couldn't fully understand it. They couldn't understand how the ship sail or how the sun moves and how the earth is brought back to life with the rains. And so there were a lot of superstitions and they ascribed it to false deities, false beings. And so it was the lack of understanding that misled them. Today, it is because of our understanding that we also turn away from Allah. So now that we understand science, we understand how things work, that nature has, there's no supernatural power behind it. Rather, it is from a scientific standpoint, it is following precise laws. There are systems in place. We become so arrogant that we thought that these things happen all on its own. We even became so arrogant we actually believe we are in control of these systems. Rather, what should have happened is as we learn and we see that there is a design in the way, you know, how our bodies function, how the environment operates, how animals are in nature, how the universe operates, how the smallest things operate. There is a design, there are laws. These laws are so perfect, we can actually derive mathematical equations. You know, Newton's laws, Einstein's laws, these things have equations to it, mathematics, we can predict it. But yet, instead of causing us to turn to a designer or a creator that made it, we've become arrogant and we forgot that there is someone that put this in place, and we became so haughty and arrogant, we felt like we are in control of this universe. We our intelligence and our technology is something which we can subdue this planet. We are shown, subhanAllah, Allah has shown us in 2020 how simple it is that this earth can rebel against us, that which we thought we were in control can so easily slip out of our control, and our only refuge is to hide in our home, subhanAllah. Something for us, Allah says, these are ayat for us to think about. Now in the last ayah of the section, and subhanAllah, this is the only ayah in the whole surah, Allah is actually calling you to an action. Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ. Again, when it is called, when they are called to, when it is said to them, أَنْفِقُوا, spend مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ, spend of that which Allah has provided for you. قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, the disbelievers say, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, to the believers, أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَ. Should we feed those who, if Allah wanted to, If Allah wanted to feed them, then He would have fed them. In antum illa fi dalalin mubin, that verily you people are in clear misguidance. So again, this ayah is in the passive voice, meaning so when He said to them, meaning they are being called many, many times, many people are calling them to spend of that which Allah has gifted to you. It is not yours. Everything that we have in the fridge, everything we have in the bank account, everything you are wearing right now, it is only as a charity Allah has given it to you. So Allah says, He has called you to spend mimma of it, meaning a little bit of it, not all of it, just a portion of it, to give and to feed the one who is hungry. Then of course the arrogant one will say, why should I feed someone? If Allah wanted to feed him, Allah would have fed him. Why must I do it? You know, subhanAllah, as I said, this is the only call to action. We'll talk more about feeding in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand it. The rizq He provides is sufficient for all of His creatures. And in 2020 we know, in our modern times we know, the earth produces enough food that every single person can eat. Yet we have people, you know, almost more than a billion people are starving, undernourished, malnourished, subhanAllah. So the earth is producing enough, Allah is giving enough food for all of humanity. It is because we are not distributing it fairly or equally, that is why we have starvation. So as one scholar had said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the way He distributes rizq, it's like the father of the household, you get the paycheck. That paycheck is meant for you and your dependents. And so Allah gives to the rich of the community, not only His rizq, Allah gives you your rizq, plus the rizq of other people which you should share it with. And therefore there is a test in it for all of us. And especially now in this time where things have become very, very difficult economically, we find ourselves always in two camps. Every single one of us, you and me, we are in one of two camps. Camp number one, those whose rizq is constricted, those whose money has run short, those who've lost their jobs, may Allah make it easy, those who don't have enough to eat. Your test is patience. Will you persevere and be thankful to Allah in your condition? Then there is a bigger test. The one who has even more difficult than that is the one who has. And his test, Allah has given you the risk, your risk, plus more than you need, and the risk of other families. And the question is, will you share it or will you keep it for yourself? And your test now is to be generous and to be giving. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing with us. It is not untrue, in fact, when these people say, these disbelievers, they said, if Allah wanted to, He would have fed them. It's true, He could have. But He deliberately has given more to some and less to others so that we could balance it out between us. And in this ayah we learn a lot. Allah says, it is the disbeliever who does not feed the poor. And it is the believer who says, feed the poor. Therefore the believer should be the first. It's part of your iman in the way in which you treat the poor. And on that note, we need to talk a little bit about feeding. Especially in a time like this, we talk a bit about feeding. And subhanAllah, when you read the Quran, how many ayat we find, for example, Allah says, وَيُتْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. Of the people of Iman, the people who Allah promises will enter Jannah. Why did they enter Jannah? What is the reason? They gave food. Even though they love it, they gave that which they love to the needy, to the orphan, and even the captive, meaning the prisoner of war, subhanAllah. The guy came to fight you, to kill you, you captured him, you feed him first before you feed yourself. As we go through the verses of the Quran, you'd find so many ayat speak about the feeding of the poor. That it is one of the qualities of the believers, it is one of the qualities of those of Jannah, is that they were conscious about feeding the poor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those in Jannah. One of the reasons they would say, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. That they used to give food, in spite of their love for it, their need for the food, they would give it to the needy, the orphan, the captive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Balad that if you want to achieve Jannah, then you need to tread the path of hardship, or the difficult path, Al-Aqaba. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْأَقَبَ. What is it, the pinnacle? If you really want to get to Jannah, then you need to walk the hard path. And what is that hard path? فَقُّ رَقَبَ. It is to free a slave. Free a slave. أو إِطْعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَسْخَبَ. Or to feed a hungry person, a person that is in need, on a day that is difficult. When you give to someone, even though you are in need, you find someone more miserable than you, more difficult than you, yatim and the maqraba, or miskin and the matraba, an orphan, or a needy person, a relative, or someone who is extremely hungry. You find someone more in need. That is the difficult thing. That is the path of hardship. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says of the people of Jahannam, for example, Allah says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you not seen the one who does not believe in Qiyamah? فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. This is the one that neglects the orphan. وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. And he is the one that does not encourage the feeding of the poor. The people that don't feed the poor and have no consciousness of the poor, this is a quality of someone who does not have a consciousness of Qiyamah. In Surah Muddathir, the angels will say, مَا سَلَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What has caused you to find yourself here in Jahannam? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُنْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. The people of Jahannam will say, it is because we were not of those who performed salah. وَلَمْ نَكُنْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And we were not of those who used to feed the poor. So this is one of the reasons why they are in Jahannam, subhanAllah. So subhanAllah, it is a time in need when there are a lot of people that are hungry. those of us who are blessed, one of the best things we could do in this month of Ramadan, especially in the month of Ramadan, is to feed the poor. In a beautiful hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, Allah says, O son of Adam, I asked you for food and you fed me not. And then we will say, Ya Allah, how should I feed you when you are the Lord of the worlds? And Allah will say, did you not know that my servant so-and-so asked you for food and you fed him not? Did you not know that had you fed him, you would surely have found that the reward thereof is with me? So subhanAllah, I mean Allah saying that it is as if though you're feeding Allah and Allah does not need a food. But if it's for our own sake that we feed and that we assist people now more than ever in this difficult time, make feeding part of your ibadah. So I ask someone, how much does it cost to feed somebody or a family to make these food parcels? Maybe about 500 rand a food parcel, it feeds a family for a month. And subhanAllah, before Ramadan, that might have been a meal. We would have gone to a restaurant, maybe Spur, and taken the family out. It would have been more than 500 rand. That is just one meal. You can feed an entire family for 500 rand on these parcels. So inshallah, we encourage you to feed. And if you're not able to on your own, then there are many organizations. One of them is, of course, Puran Islam as well. We have a soup kitchen here in the Bukap and, of course, for the rest of Cape Town as well. So if you'd like to contribute or to any organization, wonderful organizations, do so. This is an opportunity. One of the things about this COVID-19 is that it is also an opportunity to attain Jannah. The one who worships Allah in difficult times, it's more rewarding. So this is the time for us to attain Jannah, bi-idhnillah. May Allah make it easy for all those who are going through hardship. May Allah grant reward for those who are sharing and those who are doing the good work. May Allah grant them success and may Allah forgive all of us. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.